5050, honoring 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward.
What I want to say to the young women today, and we have fabulous, you know, activists and women with a lot of power and smarts and, you know, legal training. There are still so many ways that women and girls are disadvantaged and not given the same opportunities. We aren't given everything that the guys have. We have to keep fighting.
Here are our next WNBA games on ESPN2 in the app tomorrow. Diana Taurasi and the Mercury taking on Elena Delladonna and the Mystics, 7 Eastern, then Breonna Stewart and the Storm squaring off against Sylvia Fowles and the Lynx, coming your way on ESPN, also streaming live on the app. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, check out this. USFL, Pittsburgh Maulers, it's Isaiah Henney. Marcus Henney loses and a tooth, and he spits it out right there. Your thoughts?
Kev, what's his last name?
Henney.
He gonna need a nice glass of it after that game ended. Listen, man, this is a part of football. When that thing come out, you just pray you can find it, and they paying you enough in the USFL to get you a good dentist. But this league is really good, man. I would beg people to pay attention. These dudes really out here playing really good football and putting it on the line. Y'all tap in, but a glass of Henny and a good dentist, he'll be straight in a week.
Also, a good health plan. I hope he's got good dental after something like that. But that's a clean hit,
that,
too.
Sure.
Props to the Stars player delivering the hit.
Football. Football 101.
It's always good to see. All right, welcome back to Get Up, coming to you live from Bristol this morning. Kevin Negani sitting in for Greeny, who's getting ready for the NBA Finals Game 5 in San Francisco. More on that subject in the morning. It's time to get up, and good morning. It's time for the chef. What's he cooking here for Game 5? Do the Warriors need another all-time great performance to have another chance tonight against Boston? Plus, it's the boldest decision in the NBA Finals so far. Draymond's benching in the fourth quarter on Friday. Should Steve Kerr consider doing it again tonight? And did you hear what Tyreek Hill had to say on his podcast? Was he taking a shot at his former quarterback while complimenting his new one, Tua? We'll ask those questions and we'll get those answers as Get Up continues here and we get ready for Game 5. The big question heading into tonight's matchup, knotted at 2 apiece, what can Steph Curry do for an encore? Friday night, Curry, 43 points, a masterpiece to help the Warriors tie this series on the road. 7 times he's posted 40 or more in a playoff game in his career. How about 7 triples in Game 4? In this series so far, 25 three-pointers. Curry's 7 behind the record for most threes in a finals, a record he set in 2016. Averaging over 34 points per game, highest scoring average in any of the 6 NBA finals he's appeared in. Here's his splash brother.
It takes a lot of mental fortitude to stay hungry and want more and more after so much success. And Steph is the embodiment of that. The man is never satisfied. He just continues to mesmerize the world with his talent.
Our NBA experts joining us now, that is J.J. Redick, Vince Carter, and Amari Stoudemire here on Get Up. So let's put this into perspective. I want the shooter's opinion. Could this be the defining series for Steph Curry's career here, J.J.?
I do think so. Look, there's obviously the pursuit of another championship, the pursuit of his first finals MVP. But we talked before this series started about how stout this Celtics defense, the number one defense in the league. You have to go back 60 years to find a player that has averaged more points than Steph against the number one defense. That was Elgin Baylor in the finals in 1962. What he is doing right now is historic. On top of the scoring, his true shooting percentage is almost 67%. It's not just the scoring, it's the efficiency. The Celtics have had no answer for him so far.
Vince, how would you sum up what we've seen from Steph so far in the first 4 games?
He's letting us know that he is capable of leading this team and playing at an MVP in the finals, you know, way. Well, he's showing that he's able to lead this team and play at an MVP level, you know, because there were whispers, can he close? Can he play better in the second half? They want to see him in the fourth quarter, Max Kellerman. And now he's showing, I am capable, and he is now opening that elite door that not many of us knew that existed. Steph Curry is playing at that level. He was already solidified, but he is playing next level right now.
Amari, is this a legacy series here for Steph where we knew he was one of the greats? After a series like this, this puts him in the all-time great conversation?
Yeah, you know, I think, yes, I agree with that. I think time and time again, you have to always somewhat prove yourself to the world, right? We know Steph Curry is great, but everyone sometimes forgets because he didn't go to the finals last year, and you forget how great he is. But we have to keep in mind, man, if you look at these stats, the reason why he's having so much success and the Boston Celtics can't guard him, and like J.J. Redick was saying that they are, the Boston Celtics are the number one team, defensive team in the playoffs, and you still can't stop Steph Curry because this guy has every single talent when it comes to skill set within his repertoire. And you can't guard him. The same with Michael Jordan, he played. You couldn't guard him because he can do every single thing. And that's greatness. That is complete greatness. And what we're watching now from Steph Curry, we have to respect the level of talent, but also the skill set, the determination, the training, the hours in the gym that it took place for him to get to this level. And now we see the results. This guy can't be stopped. And Steph Curry is one of the all-time greats for sure.
You know, my favorite part of that graphic in 1991, real quick, that my favorite part is that Jordan took only 4 3-point attempts.
That's what I was going to say. The same thing.
It just shows you, right? The impact of Steph Curry legacy-wise and how much he has changed the game, right? 4 3-point attempts. I mean, that's kryptonite for J.J. Redick, right? The idea you can only shoot 4 threes in the first 4 games of a finals. Vince, why don't you weigh in?
Crazy. No, I was going to say the exact same thing. I mean, it's just the way the game has changed. But, you know, JJ said it, you know, Steph has this ability. And you mentioned, Kev, his average has gone up. But now he's not deferring. He's not being the unselfish superstar. He is taking, he's in the forefront showing, I am capable, by the way, just like Amari said, you forgot, I am capable of leading a team to a championship, and he is showing us that, and he's killing all of this. Can he do it? Will he do it? Well, we're seeing right now he can and will.
Okay, now the big question here is 40 points. I'm going to make that the line. Does Steph need another 40-point performance here for the Warriors to win Game 5 tonight and take control of the series, JJ?
No, he doesn't need to score 40. He certainly needs to score. I'd be happy with 38. You know, and I think what we've seen throughout this series in the Warriors' wins is that they've had one or two other guys contribute. And obviously in Game 4, they got high teens from Klay, they got high teens from Wiggins, and they got high teens from Jordan Poole. That's ultimately what they need. Steph is, if they continue to play this drop coverage against him, Steph is going to continue to put up numbers. I don't know that he needs to score 40 or more, though.
Okay, the big question, too, of course, moving forward, is how would you play Draymond Green late in the game? These guys are going to weigh on that later on here on Get Up. Let's get to a topic here in the NFL over the weekend. Dolphins star Tyreek Hill says he was underutilized in Kansas City. And that's not all. In his brand-new podcast called It Needed to Be Said, Hill was asked about the host, about his former quarterback and his current quarterback, and what he said. I'll raise some eyebrows. Listen to this.
Who got the strongest arm? Tua or Pat Mahomes? Tua or Patrick Mahomes? Obviously, like, I'm going to go with 1-5 as the strongest arm. But as far as accuracy-wise, I'm going with Tua all day.
So which one would you rather have? The deep ball where you got to scramble around the field to try to go find it? But do you want that accuracy to hit you right in the bread basket on the run?
I want it to hit me right in the bread basket just like I did in the Buffalo Bills game and take it 70.
Let's bring in, of course, this is going to be an interesting topic. Kimberly A. Martin, as well as Mike Tannenbaum and Marcus Spears. Marcus, first off, I want your immediate reaction to what you heard from Tyreek.
Erase the tape. Erase the tape is the immediate reaction. Okay. And here's the thing, man. Like, Tyreek Hill is doing exactly what you're supposed to do, bigging up the quarterback that he's currently with. But y'all, we just watched all this success happen in Kansas City between Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Accuracy in practice or OTAs is not the same as accuracy when you're in the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl and when you still making plays. Underutilized, he caught 111 footballs last year. What else? That arm strength led to $150 million. From the Miami Dolphins. The fact that you was able to make plays downfield, all right? The improvisation of Patrick Mahomes and your ability to get open, your ability to have speed, your ability to play the wide receiver position at a very high level led to all of these good things and the ability for you to say what you're saying now, all right? So just let's not compare Tua and Patrick Mahomes. Tyreek, just talk about Tua and talk good about it.
You know who's also upset about this conversation? Mike T's dog. He wants to weigh in. We'll get to his comments in a moment in the background here. And you know, Marcus talked about the payday here for Tyreek. It feels like, Kmart, that Tyreek's writing checks that Tua can't cash. I feel like that practice video does no service or justice here for Tua, as well as these comments. Your thoughts when you interpret things?
My question is, the name of the podcast, did this need to be said? Because I don't know if it needed to be said. I think Tyreek is putting undue pressure on Tua, and I don't even think he understands it. Because when you compare these two, heading into a season in which there's such high expectations for Tua, he's known for a guy who can check it down. He's known for a guy who's accurate on the short and intermediate passes. But they have to test the defenses. They have to utilize all of these skill players that they have. And Tyreek even putting his name in the same sentence as Patrick Mahomes. And when you're talking about accuracy in quarterbacks, everybody says, you got a strong arm, that's great. That doesn't measure a great quarterback. It is the accuracy. It is the decision making. So when you're giving Tua the nod up in that category against Patrick Mahomes, I'm a little confused.
Mike T, I love the passion from one of your dogs. It sounds like he's a Patrick Mahomes fan. He does not agree with Tyreek Hill. What would you do to weigh in as the GM of the Dolphins if your wide receiver said this, the setup for the first time, Tua Tagovailoa?
Yeah, our dog Jersey, she's a little up in arms right now, Kevin, so we'll have to calm her down because she wants to see it all play out as well. But I would give Tyreek Hill an A-plus as a teammate. Look, his heart and intentions are in the right spot. Yeah. He wants to bolster, let's face it, a very marginal quarterback up until now, comparing him to the best quarterback in our sport in Patrick Mahomes. But well done is better than well said. So as Swagoo said before, they've been out there for about 6 hours total. So let's go make some first downs. Let's get some wins under our belt, and then we can compare some things. But in late June, that guy, Patrick Mahomes, he put a ring on your finger, and that deserves some deference and respect.
Marcus, I see you shaking your head.
Go ahead. I want to make another point, Kev, and let me acknowledge the graphic. We're showing these percentages, the completion percentages, 1 through 15 yards. You see the similarities, and then 15-plus air yards. Tua has 48%, but he got 53 less attempts. Okay, let me say this. 53 less. Let me say this, okay, too. The one thing that I think we also should acknowledge that may be another layer to this, Tua is still being compared to Justin Herbert. And we see how that's not working out for him right now. Mm-hmm. And we all acknowledge that Tua didn't walk into a great situation. He had a veteran in Fitzpatrick that was there. They split time. People are trying to figure out who Tua is as a quarterback in this league. The Miami Dolphins have put a lot of pieces around him in order for him to have a tremendous amount of success. So to Mike T's point, I think Tyreek has to be a little bit more conscious about making these type of statements for a young quarterback, that the mental part is going to play into what type of player he turns into going down the road.
All right, Mike, you've got an assignment here. We're going to talk about Davante Adams later in the program. And Jersey better show up.
Mike, go get
we
Jersey,
need
Mike.
To see Jersey on the program ahead. Did you see what Davante Adams had to say about Derek Carr? Did he really compare him to Aaron Rodgers? We're talking about it next, plus a cameo from Jersey. Plus, Steve Kerr's bold decision. Was he right to bench Draymond in the fourth quarter Friday night? And should he do it again tonight? This is Get Up on a Monday.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back here on Get Up, let's get to the loudest person making their debut here on Get Up. Mike T, introduce us to Jersey.
This is Jersey, our two-year-old black lab, sporting the University of Michigan collar for our daughter, who will be a freshman. Very excited about the tour conversation, living down here in South Florida. She was very energetic in the last segment, Kev.
Okay, well, we got mandatory minicamps. We'll see if Jersey wants to weigh in specifically as we talk a little bit about Lamar and Devontae Adams. I love the passion from good girl Jersey. All right, let's get through the camp pass, Mike T. Ravens starting mandatory minicamp. Should Lamar Jackson show up in your mind?
Absolutely. He needs to be there. He needs to walk in and tell Mr. Bisciotti that, hey, Deshaun Watson got $250 million. I need $250 million, and this should be pretty easy. I'm not going to take 5 cents less, Kevin. I'm not going to ask for 5 cents more, and we need to get this deal done.
I think Jersey agrees with you. The silence is deafening. Kimberly, hey, Commanders begin mandatory minicamp tomorrow as well after the Jack Del Rio distraction. What are you hearing out of Washington?
Yeah, Kevin, the dust up with Jack Del Rio is only a footnote to what's going on in Washington. Carson Wentz, how he develops chemistry with his new wide receivers and how quickly, that will be a key component to this mini camp. And speaking of wide receivers, Terry McLaurin didn't show up for any of the voluntary sessions because he wants to get paid. That's a big deal. Plus, Chase Young, he has no timeline for when he can be fully healthy. A lot going on in D.C.
Another quarterback here with a new place, and that is Russell Wilson. As the Broncos begin mandatory mini camp, what do you expect from Russ this year?
I expect Russ to play phenomenal, one, Kev, but I also expect everyone around him to raise their level. Listen, playing in this league, when you have a QB, you got a chance. And I expect all of these guys to respond, especially his skill guys, Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. They should all be better this year because Russell Wilson is at quarterback.
The thing that stood out in that segment, Jersey agrees with all three of you. You guys get the pass. You can continue on the program. Our next stop is Vegas. Raiders landing prize wide receiver Devontae Adams in March, 3 days after Aaron Rodgers signed his contract extension in Green Bay. Adams was asked to compare his old quarterback to Derek Carr, his new one.
That's just like comparing me to like Jerry Rice. You know, it'd be tough to do because Jerry's put together what he's done, and it's undeniable respect for him. And me, I'm still going, and there's still a lot that I got to do to be able to be mentioned with Jerry, and I'm aware of that, and I think Derek is also aware of that. You know, from a big picture, but as far as talent and ability, I mean, it's really similar. If I'm keeping it real.
Back here with our crew. Swagoo, I thought Devontae handled that question really well. There's a fine line where you're complimenting and also you're bringing yourself into the comparison here with another great one in Jerry Rice. Did you think that a guy like Rodgers, is this a jab at him with these comments?
I don't believe so. I think it's more to elevate. Aaron may take it that way, but I think it's to elevate Derek Carr, right? Obviously, we know about the relationship that they have. It's been well documented. But Derek Carr is not anything to sneeze at. He played phenomenal in a team that went through a lot last year. He was able to get that team to the playoffs and played at a very high level. Now, context is always key when you're trying to decipher between what people are saying. I think Devontae is talking about the ability to make some of the same throws, the ability to play in clutch moments and have success, and the things like that. But ultimately, that is where I have to disagree, even though I want to acknowledge that Devontae may know more. But based on what I've watched, the talent and ability is different. And there's a level to both of these guys, and the level that Aaron Rodgers is on, Derek Carr ain't reached that yet as far as who they are as individual players. So I would just say that in order to have context to this, based on my eyes and probably most people that's watched football over the last 10, 15 years, Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr, ability and talent will not be in the same conversation.
Yeah, this is a difference between good to great. One thing we see that is great here, and that is the contract with Devontae Adams and a great relationship. Kmart, you're our relationship expert here. What do you make of Adams' comments here, trying to kind of have that fine line here where you want to compliment your new quarterback and also you're aware of what you're leaving?
See, I would just want my husband to say his ex was, she was nice. She was nice. And just say that I'm beautiful, I'm great, I'm amazing. Because that's the easiest way. You're now in a new relationship. Forget about the past. And I think, I think we all know Devontae loves Derek Carr. And he sees, to Marcus's point, he sees the talent that's there. But what's missing in this is the what separates Aaron Rodgers is just that mental acumen, that dog sort of mentality, that psychological like piece that takes him to a different level. And Derek's just not there yet. But that's what you want to do when you have your bestie, the person that you love. You want to hype him up. And you just want, oh, my ex, yeah. That's fine. She's just like you. Don't worry about it. No sweat. I'm happy with you.
Kimberly, I will tell you, in a conversation with my wife, I will never say my ex was nice because I do not want to sleep on the couch no matter what.
My ex was the worst person that I ever met.
I'll do a yada, yada, yada. She's Let's move on. She was fine. I'm with you because you're fine. Mike
hey,
T.
Hey, I'm telling my wife right now, Aisha, you saved me. My
yes.
wife saved me.
Exactly. You
All
saved
right,
me.
That's and, relationship.
And maybe Devontae saying that right now to Derek because yeah, you're saving me moving forward because
yes.
I know what I'm doing each and
there
every year
go,
because I've got my quarterback. And as a result, Mike T, I know. I want to know the uncertainty here surrounding Aaron Rodgers. Did that cost the Packers? Did that cost the Packers and Adams and this window of winning a Super Bowl?
Absolutely. And he's going from a bad relationship, which we all just alluded to a great one. And Aaron Rodgers' uncertainty, in my opinion, cost him a chance to win a championship this year because what Devontae Adams said was, I want to go to a place where I know the quarterback's going to be there and there's stability. And all this drama around Aaron Rodgers, am I playing? Am I not playing? Do I want to play someplace else? This whole notion of a beautiful mystery cost him a championship because in 2022, Christian Watson, who they drafted in the second round, simply won't be as good as Devontae Adams. And when you look at a team like the Rams or the Buccaneers, who we already talked about, those teams are all in right now. And the development of those young receivers in Green Bay is going to be the margin of error that's going to cost them ultimately a chance to win a championship this year.
Swaggoo, no matter what you're going to say, you're going to be a hater. So let's get that out of the way. Do you agree with Mike T here on that assessment that Aaron Rodgers cost the Packers this window of winning a Super Bowl?
Yeah, because Devontae Adams was a critical piece to winning that Super Bowl. Now, if he make us look stupid and win a Super Bowl, then we'll come on here and say we were stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I've never seen you lose that type of talent and be better, especially how much they relied on each other to play well. So I think it has, because the Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers I would have above the Green Bay Packers right now.
Yeah, the uncertain future of Aaron Rodgers, laying that out there. Also, the Packers' decision on not going with a first-round wide receiver over the years. Not, it's a collection of years and focusing on defense. And, of course, that Jordan Love pick, that was always going to be an issue here as he is on the bench watching on. Guys, thank you so much. Let's go to baseball here, the Yankees. And this is not a highlight that features Aaron Judge, but it features a ton of the offense. Matt Carpenter, what an addition. Not just about the stash. How about this? Three-run shot against the Cubs. Yankees up 8-1. Bottom of the sixth now, 10-3. Carpenter again. First Yankee with six home runs within his first 10 games. And it's now 12-3. All right, it starts to get silly in the eighth. Yankees up 17-4.
When Dave Roberts tried
then,
to bring in a position player.
How about Frank Swindell on the bump for the Cubs? 35 miles per hour. Are you kidding me? Kyle Higashioka with the home run, the slowest known measured pitch ever for a home run in baseball history, 35 miles per hour. What? Coming up, the boldest decision of the final so far. Draymond's benching in the fourth quarter. Should Steve Kerr consider doing it again tonight? Also, Jason Tatum and the conversation surrounding him. What do we need to see from him to even this series? What's wrong with Boston superstar?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Kevin Agani here for Greeny here on Get Up Monday morning. Back to the NBA, where Draymond Green's poor play in the finals has been the subject of much conversation. Game four, he sat for a four-minute stretch during the fourth quarter, and it's hard to argue what you saw. When Draymond was subbed out halfway point of the fourth, the Warriors went on an 11-3 run against the Celtics. Golden State had entered the pivotal run, trailing by five, then took a lead by three with under 4 minutes to go, and then Draymond came back into the game. They closed out that game four to even up the series. Let's bring back our basketball experts. That is J.J. Redick, Amari Stoudemire, and Vince Carter. So in sitting Draymond here, Vince, during that fourth quarter stretch here, that four-minute window, did Steve Kerr find a blueprint here moving forward the rest of the series?
It's situational. This is a game-to-game, quarter-to-quarter situation you decide what you need at the moment. And at that moment, they needed scoring. Draymond has not been scoring the ball well. He hasn't been playing well offensively. He hasn't looked at the rim at times when he's had the ball in situations where he probably could take the shot or shoot his floater. So at that moment, you get the shooting or what's needed. If they needed defense at the moment, well, you implement him in the game. So I think it was a great call. I think Steve Kerr made the right decision. I'm sure you will see him do it again because that's what's needed at the moment. It's a game-to-game, quarter-to-quarter, maybe half-to-half situation or decision that is made. I don't see anything wrong with it.
JJ, how would you consider this decision by Steve Kerr and then moving forward the game plan with Draymond if the situation is close or the Warriors need scoring in the fourth quarter?
Well, I agree with the decision, and I totally can co-sign what Vince is saying. You know, as a coach, your agenda is just trying to figure out a way to win a basketball game, and I thought it was the right decision in the moment in game four. You know, Draymond Green's value on the offensive end is not as a scorer. Let's be very clear on that. It's as a screener, as a facilitator. Yep. He still had eight assists in that game. I think a lot of this is how the Boston Celtics are playing Steph. They're not blitzing him. So Draymond's not getting those 4-on-3 plays downhill where he can pick the defense apart. And then off the ball, they're just completely ignoring him and daring him to shoot. And that's not really his game. His three-point percentage has had a slow and steady decline throughout his career. And I don't know if this is a confidence issue, but he's got to figure out a way to be more of a threat to score the ball in this series if the Warriors want to win this series.
Amari, what advice would you give Draymond coming into a game like this, especially when you look at the numbers so far in this series, 18 fouls and 17 points?
Be aggressive offensively. Look to score the basket, the basketball, because you have opportunities on the court. You can score the basketball. And when you're scoring the basketball, you relieve pressure off the rest of your guys. And then now that brings another element to the game that's important for the Golden State Warriors to have. But if you've not been aggressive trying to score the basketball, teams are not going to try to guard you. It's going to be a hard situation for you. And Steve Kerr made a great decision by making that adjustment in the game. In the playoffs, it's all about adjustments. And making the right adjustment at the right time is very imperative. I think Steve Kerr did a good job with that. But my advice to Draymond is be aggressive. Attack the basket. Look to score. Your three-point shot may not be the shot you may want to take, but there's other opportunities within the game of basketball where you can be aggressive and take advantage of.
By being aggressive, JJ, to follow up that, is this like Steve Kerr saying, let's get one or two set plays for you early on to build that confidence?
You know what, I don't think they have a set play for Draymond in their playbook. No. I'll be honest with you.
So, that says enough.
So much of what he gets on the offensive end is through Steph Curry, through the movement, through getting blitzed on pick and rolls, slipping screens and getting into that short roll area and being able to score at the basket. And again, you know, he's shown a real reluctance to even look at the basket from 3-point range. I don't know that that's the answer. I do think some of this is just like the aggressive mindset, playing with force. We saw that in game two where he played with force and aggressive mindset on the defensive end. If he can translate that to the offensive end, yeah, maybe he gets 10 to 14 points and provides a threat on that end.
All right, let's take a look at some of the other layered storylines here ahead for game five tonight. Some of the over-unders. And JJ, let's start with you. Steph Curry, 5.5 threes tonight. What are you taking?
This is tough for me. I'm going to take the under on this. And Ime Udoka has basically said they're not going to make an adjustment on his pick and roll, so Steph's going to have some opportunities. I think the Boston Celtics will just try to be more, even more physical with him off the ball and on the ball.
Amari, Jaylen Brown, 23.5 points, over or under?
I'm taking over. I think Jaylen Brown's going to go to work tonight, man. I think he's going to have a big game. I'm going over with this one.
Okay.
I got confidence in Jaylen Brown.
And Brown's been phenomenal in this series, especially in the first quarter, setting the tone for the offensive attack here for the Celtics. Vince, Tatum, a huge storyline here in controlling the basketball and the sloppy play. 3.5 turnovers, over or under?
I still think he has 3 turnovers, but we've seen his bounce back games. He's had great games, lower turnovers, and he's done a great job of that. Being more focused, actually, after a loss, so look for him to be under.
By the way, Tatum, you know, he hasn't played poorly overall in the finals. It's not a knock on him, but the expectations as the star, they start to pick up, especially when you look at a series tied at 2 apiece. He's been very quiet in the second half throughout the series, just 9 of 34 from the floor in the second half. And even worse, Boston has been outscored by 19 with him on the court over the last 2 quarters. Guys, one of the things I've noticed with Jason Tatum, we'll see great halves. We haven't seen a full 4 quarters of play here for Jason Tatum in one game in these first 4 games. What does Jason Tatum need to do in order to bounce back here, JJ?
It's actually pretty simple. He just needs to make some 2-pointers. He's been awful shooting 2-pointers in this series. And I think some of it is taking advantage of his size. Some of it is slowing down and just making the right read. At times, I think he's getting sped up and he's driving into no man's land with no real plan. You know, that graphic showed his second half numbers. How about the fourth quarter? He's 4 for 16 in the fourth quarter in this series. Just really poor play on the offensive end, shooting the basketball for him in the second half in this series.
Vince, what advice coming out of halftime does Jason need to take to actually change this momentum?
JJ said it, aggressive getting to close to the basket, working your way inside out. You know, don't settle for those tough twos and slow down a little bit. You know, sometimes being aggressive now, setting someone else up will help you maybe 2 or 3 plays later because they've seen that play before and they know you'll make the right play. So for Jason, just be aggressive, but get close to the basket first, then work your way out to twos and to the threes. I think sometimes he settled. A couple of times we saw last game, he saw Bielitsa. He tried to take him off the dribble. Plays great defense and then settles for a tough 2 instead of just getting in the paint, maybe getting off the ball because they try to help off of Bielitsa when they see that mismatch.
Amari's averaging 8 assists in this series so far. He's a great facilitator. When you see him in that second half, what are you seeing from his play offensively?
Well, here's the thing. Anytime you – and JJ and Vince are both correct. You want to try to get, you know, some 2-pointers, right? And the best way to get 2-pointers – is go to the post, right? I mean, he's 6'10". No one's his height going to guard him in the post. You can survey the court. You can see where the double team is going to come from. You can make your decisions and precise decisions from there. But he has to be more aggressive down that paint. And like Vince was saying, when you play inside out, it gives you a chance to see the game. Another note I want to make is that if he watches film and analyze how the team is playing him, then now that will give him another perspective on how he can be aggressive offensively and be able to be more of a be able to assert himself in the fourth quarter.
I'm not just putting this on Jason Tatum, but there is another storyline when you look at the double-digit outcomes in these games. All right, those are the final outcomes, but they've been close games in the third and then the start of the fourth quarter. Boston, all season long, they have struggled big time in clutch time. That is the final 5 minutes of a quarter. That is the fourth quarter or overtime here. When you look at things, what has to change here, JJ? Because I think it's gonna haunt them in the next 3 games if we have a contest that's within 2 to 3 points in the final 4 minutes of a game.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. This has been a really poor clutch team all season. 13-22 in the regular season in clutch time, 2-4 in the playoffs in clutch time going into the finals. I think their offense legitimately stalls out, and there's something to be said about slowing down and making the right read. There's also something to be said about shifting the defense and moving the ball side to side and making on-time on-target passes. And in late in games, and especially in the fourth quarter of this series, their passing hasn't been crisp. Their movement hasn't been crisp. You are going to have to generate good shots by doing those two things against this Warriors defense.
Amari, you mentioned it. You expect a big night from Jaylen Brown. What do you need to see from him in the 5 minutes of a game if it's within 5 points?
Well, I think with Jaylen Brown, I mean, he's going to have to, you know, be aggressive as well. I mean, even if Jason Tatum's not able to present himself offensively in the fourth quarter down the stretch, then that's when Jaylen Brown steps up. You know, you always got to have your key secondary guy step in when your star player is not being able to exert himself properly. So I want him to be aggressive as well. And whatever matchup he has guarding him, be aggressive, attack him, get to the basket, draw fouls, and try to dominate this game down the stretch. Because in their fourth quarter, it's been a lack of execution down the stretch in the fourth. So they have to figure out a way to really exert themselves in the fourth quarter to then now get over that hump and be a better fourth quarter team.
They've been tremendous coming off a loss, undefeated so far during this postseason run, 7-0. But the big question each and every time we see the Celtics in the postseason, which Celtics team will show up? With that in mind, JJ, who wins game five tonight?
I'm just going to be very consistent with my picks throughout this series, and I'm going to continue to say the Celtics are going to win. So I think the Celtics win on the road again in game five.
All right, Amari, where are you going? Who you got?
Yeah, I got Golden State. I got Golden State winning this one. I think they're going to, it's a tough decision for me, right? So I picked Golden State, but yet I have Boston. I'm leaning more toward Boston. But it's tough because Boston hasn't really lost back-to-back games. So I'm going to switch my pick and go with Boston. I'm going with Boston for the game tonight.
I love that. You're keeping our producers on their toes here, right?
I'm on their toes, man. Yeah. Hey, stay on your toes, guys.
VC, who you got?
Amari, I had the same struggles here because you look at the 7-0 you look at the 7-0 record and their success and knowing their bounce back. I think the Warriors have figured out something. Obviously, they're utilizing the pick and roll coverage with Steph a little more with success while going back home, which has weighed this back and forth. And I'm going to pick the Warriors. And you see, they put Warriors up, so I wouldn't change my pick as well. So I got to stick with the Warriors.
Guys, I'm going to go with the Warriors for one reason only. I think they've got to play desperate basketball because if they were to lose this game, you do not want to go to Boston in that environment for a game six and a series clincher for the Celtics. The Warriors must win this game. I think if they don't win this, they're not coming back to San Francisco for a game seven. So they got to win tonight. That's how I view this as we continue. I didn't change my pick either. Game five NBA Finals tonight, 9 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Radio with the series tied at 2 apiece. Heading back to San Francisco, our coverage tips with NBA Countdown, 8:30 Eastern. That is Mike Greenberg and the NBA Countdown crew. Of course, we get you started with SportsCenter, 6 p.m. Eastern time. L. Duncan live from San Francisco. Me and Bristol, as we got you covered leading into the matchup. All right. Coming up, should Steph be the MVP if the Warriors should lose the finals? Our guys, they are divided about this. We'll discuss that. And also, a little sneaky Hembo time. This one's for you, VC. Who is the last player to score 40 points in back-to-back finals games? Who is the last player to score 40 points in back-to-back finals games? Vince Carter on the clock. The answer after this.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back here, Kevin Agani filling in for Mike Greenberg, who's in San Francisco. Back to sneaky Hembo time. This one's for you, VC. Who's the last player to score 40 points in back-to-back finals games? What do you got?
So, I'm going back and forth. I originally came up with two quick names. I mean, MJ, I know he did it, but you said the last one, which threw me. So I either have LeBron or KD. I'm going to say LeBron.
LeBron. And the reveal, Hembo? Oh, it's Giannis.
Oh, my God. I literally have Giannis right here, too. Oh,
my God. Giannis did that in games 2 and 3 just a year ago. I thought I lobbed that off the backboard for you. But Giannis is the last one. We will see if Steph can do it, of course, tonight in Game 5, coming off 43 points. By the way, big perk weighing in on Steph Curry, what we've seen so far here. And this is what Kendrick Perkins had to tweet here when talking about Finals MVP. I believe Steph Curry should win the Finals MVP regardless of the outcome. He's been the best player in this series. It's not even close. The man is averaging 35, 34 to be exact. And then I've been wanting to say this for a long time on TV. Don't mind me. Carry the hell on. Love Kate Perk and all his tweets. All right, let's bring back our NBA guys, J.J. Amari, Vince, as well as Marcus Spears. This is an interesting conversation, especially with the series tied at 2 apiece at this moment. The measuring stick is 2 games, Boston 2 games, Golden State. Is Steph Curry so far the MVP of the finals, regardless of the series result, J.J.?
I just want to point one thing out, and I'm not a doctor, so I don't know everything, but I'm pretty sure Hembo was wrong on that because Devin Booker had 40 balls in Game 4 and Game 5 of last year's series. I want to make sure, you know, Hembo has all the stats, so I want to make sure we're getting that right.
Yeah,
so
JJ.
You have to go back to 1969, the very first year they had an NBA Finals MVP, to have a player on the losing team get the Finals MVP. That was Jerry West.
This man just
history says that the answer is no to this question. But is he the MVP so far? Absolutely. And even if the Celtics win, he has outplayed everyone in this series by far. And so I can think you make a strong case, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up winning MVP and becoming the first player since Jerry West in 1969 to be MVP on the losing team.
Okay, I can confirm that Hembo is sweating right now as he's looking up the fact check if he was right or wrong. We will get that answer before this segment is over, all right? So stand by here. Vince, would you give Steph the MVP even if they lose the series?
It's just hard to do, you know. It's hard to do, and I'm going back to high school when I lost in the state championship, and I was named MVP, and I tell him I didn't want it. I didn't win it, so I didn't want it. So I think, and that was my junior year. It came back and won it my senior year, but I just don't think. I mean, Steph Curry is playing outstanding, and he should be acknowledged as the MVP if they win it, obviously, and if they lose it, he should be acknowledged, but. If Boston Celtics win it, will Steph Curry want that? I don't think so. I think Jaylen Brown would win it if the Boston Celtics win. I'll just throw that out there as well.
Yeah, we need to see one of those a phenomenal performance, I think, from Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum if the Celtics were to win this series in the final 3 games. Amari, you know, some greats are also weighing in. Dwayne Wade and LeBron James both going to social media and weighing in on Curry's run in the finals, tweeting that Steph doesn't get the credit that he should, and he's still underrated. Amar, do you agree? Is Steph underrated, even though he's an all-time conversation great?
I mean, I don't think he's underrated. I mean, we give him all the props.
I don't.
That we could possibly give him, man. I mean, he's. We talked about him being on the Mount Rushmore of basketball, being one of the greatest of all time, being maybe one of the greatest point guards of all time. So we give him all of his props. So I don't think he's been underappreciated. Because we know he's an all-time great. So, you know, what he's doing right now is remarkable. And I understand what Dwayne Wade and LeBron is saying. Like, we're watching greatness, and we have to appreciate this greatness to the highest level. And we are at the moment. So I think LeBron and D-Wade have a good point of being able to appreciate greatness, but we are giving him his props. As of today.
Especially the narrative when you saw KD go to Golden State. A lot of people, they needed KD to get us over the top. He's the finals MVP those 2 years. And then what Andre Iguodala did in 2015 and what LeBron did down 3-1 in 2016 here. Do you think, Marcus, Steph Curry's underappreciated?
No, I don't. What I think Steph Curry is an anomaly. He's not the conventional 6'6", 6'7". Wing that we used to see in high flying through the air. He does it a different way. And the different way that he does it better than anybody has ever done it in the league. We all lament that he's the greatest shooter to ever play basketball. But the one thing I would say, if it was an underrating element to Steph Curry's game, is his ability to attack the paint and affect the game when you're talking about around the basket. But outside of that, I've heard nothing but great things about Stephen Curry and what he's been able to do. He's He's an underdog story to the max, if we ever think about one in sports, right? Because guys not supposed to be able to do this and be as effective. But it all is tailor-made around his ability to put the ball in the basket from anywhere on the floor, which allows him to do whatever he wants to do. And let me go back to this MVP thing, okay? Listen, I get it. Playing phenomenal. I'm going to give y'all a line. 35-13-8 is what LeBron averaged in 2015 against the Golden State Warriors and didn't get the MVP. And everybody in America, you didn't even have to know basketball to know that he was clearly the most valuable player in that series. The MVP should go to the winning team and the best player on that team.
Okay, Spears, coming with receipts here and accurate receipts. At least one person on the show is being accurate. Hembo, what do you have to say for yourself? Because I think it starts with an apology to Vince
this
Carter.
This is a first in history.
Because Devin Booker scored back-to-back games 4 and 5 a year ago.
Get him,
40
JJ.
40-plus points. Vince?
JJ. JJ gets a point.
Listen,
take that and smoke.
How about that? JJ coming to rescue a Tar Heel and stick up for him. And this is maybe a first. Hembo is wrong. And somewhere Dan Graziano is laughing his butt off as Hembo goes down with his own question. Well done there by JJ. Hembo, more from you, all right? More from you. You're embarrassing me for the city of Philadelphia.
No, I ain't letting y'all do my boy like that. Hembo, you the coach.
He is the man. First Take coming up next. Can the Celtics do anything to slow down Steph? Plus, Shaq will join the show. It's First Take with Molly, Stephen A., and JJ. Shaq weighing in.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Game one of the Stanley Cup final is Wednesday night. Steven Stamkos and the two-time defending champs, the Lightning, looking for a three-peat here against Colorado. The Western Conference champs, the Avalanche, plenty of days of rest. Our coverage begins 8 Eastern on ABC and ESPN+. Hey, this coming in, Ravens cornerback Marlon Humphrey posting a video to his Instagram story saying, y'all won't believe who I'm with, Marcus. That is 25-year-old Lamar Jackson showing up at the Ravens facility. Your thoughts?
That's a beautiful sight to behold, Kev, and I expected Lamar to show up. The OTAs, I wasn't concerned about. Minicamp is a serious business in the NFL, and the leader of the Baltimore Ravens is there. That's what matters. Now pay the man his money.
Yeah, the money up in upwards of maybe $200 million guaranteed. We'll see how that plays out. I'll see you on the 6 o'clock Sports Center. First Take is next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.